Okay, if any kiddos want to come up here, you guys can sit here and then down on the floor. I'm going to kind of sit right here. So I have something for each this morning, and I'm going to pass it out, and I just want you to hold it for a minute. And is anybody allergic to chocolate? I forgot to ask that question. So I have some kisses, and I have some hugs. And so just, I want you to hold it. Don't worry if it's not the one you really, really want. Oh, got some more hugs.
Okay.
So, this is pretty cool, huh? Give you a kiss and a hug. So, you guys didn't have to buy it, did you? I pay for this to bring this to you freely. So I want you to think about something. Now, think for a minute. I either want you to keep your kiss or your hug, or you can give it away to someone here today. Now, it's okay. Anything that you want to do, you can do. So if you want to give it away, you can. Or if you want to keep it for yourself, you can. So go ahead and just think what you're going to do for a minute. Don't eat it yet, okay? So,
what? You know,
it's kind of a trick question. So if you want to go ahead and give it away to someone here today, you can. Is anybody going to choose to give it away?
I
can go to
someone.
Oh, that's great. Okay, so choose anybody you want to give your kiss or hug to, if you want to. You don't have to. Okay, so for those of you that gave it away, that's really cool. So I'm going to give you some more. Those of you that kept it, it's okay too. You still have it, right? It's not going anywhere. Now, so that's kind of what I want you to think about, is a kiss or a hug is to show people that we love them. Like, you can give your parents or grandparents hugs, and a kiss is not. So God's love is kind of like this kiss or the hug, right? The more God loves you no matter what, you don't have to pay for his love. He gives it to you freely, just like I gave you these. And you can share his love. What's one way you can share his love with others?
Not being tied together.
Exactly. Something simple as that. God would do that. Yes,
tell others about God.
Tell others about God. Simple little things. Sharing, being kind. That's what God wants us to do. So that's what I want you to remember when you see a kiss or a hug. It's that you get, it's God gives his love freely. Okay? So let's go ahead and pray. Thank you, God, for these wonderful kids and bringing them here today. Please let them know that they are always loved and cared for. Let them know that God's love is with them no matter what. You don't have to give anything to him. He will always give it to you and more. Amen.
Amen.
So if you get up, you can share it.
With our children is so important. And thank you, Carrie, for finding ways to do that every week. We appreciate it. We've been talking about God's gifts to us. What are the things, when we become a child of God's, what are the things that he gives to us so freely? And prayer is where we've kind of landed here for a little while. And we are specifically focusing on the Lord's Prayer. We say it every week. And sometimes things that we do over and over and over again, if we don't stop and think about what we're saying, what we're doing, and why, it becomes just by rote. It just becomes a habit. And it can lose some of its impact. So we've slowed down to talk about this, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You're there, I'm here. Your name is holy. How I use the word God in my language is going to be treated as something precious. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. I'm going to give up all, bit by bit, it's a process, isn't it? All of my wishes, I'm going to exchange my wishes for your wishes for my life. Give us this day our daily bread. So I need daily to be seeking sustenance. What's going to get me through? Physically, emotionally, what is it I need to get me through today, God? Give me what I need to meet the challenges for the day. And then we spent several weeks on forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespassed against us. Forgiveness, it's such a great thing, something we need so much, and sometimes something that can be difficult to give, and we've been talking about that. Requesting forgiveness, which I need in abundance, and therefore I can share abundantly as well. And now we move on to the next sentence, second to the last. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And when you say that out loud, it can seem kind of an odd request, doesn't it? It seems like we're giving a plea to a master who may not have my best interests at heart. If I have to plead with my master to not let me get into trouble, that sounds odd, doesn't it? And so you start doing some research into that. And when you look at it carefully, what we're going to come to at the end is that it is revealing a willingness on our part to acknowledge our human nature and to choose to turn away from those human instincts, those human desires, and turn toward a God who will lead me in the best paths if I will follow. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The New Living Translation puts it just a little bit clearer than that for me. It says, and don't let us yield to temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Also a very accurate translation of those Greek words. Don't let us yield to temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And that word temptation is the same word that we've already studied before. Remember, parasmos. The Greek word parasmos. And it means an experiment, a trial, or a temptation. And it's used in the Greek language throughout Scripture interchangeably with trials, privation, testing, being tried, temptation, calamity, affliction, parasmos. Same Greek word. So how do we determine which way it's being used? Well, it's always context, right? I need to read the verses above and below to make sure that I'm understanding that word carefully. And they work very hard to translate that for you. Many people have spent many years translating that accurately for us. Remember James, the first book, the second verse, and he said, consider it all joy, you know, when you encounter various trials, when you encounter various parasmos. Same word. Deliver us from parasmos. Consider it all joy when you encounter parasmos. So what is the concept, the usage of this word trying to convey to us? Interestingly, it's the same word you find when Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane just before he's arrested. And he takes the disciples there and he says, will you pray with me? He knows what's coming. He knows what he's going to have to walk through. Then he says to them, will you pray with me? And he takes his three closest friends and they go a little deeper in the garden. He said, will you stay awake and pray with me? My soul's grieved. This is going to be hard. And he goes away and he prays and he comes back and they're sound asleep. And he says to them this in Matthew 26, verses 36 through 41. Then Jesus went with him to the olive grove called Gethsemane, and he said, sit here while I go over there to pray. He took Peter and Zebedee's two sons, James and John, and he became anguished and distressed. He told them, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. And he went on a little further and bowed with his face to the ground, praying, Father, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. And then he returned to the disciples and found them asleep. He said to Peter, couldn't you watch with me? Even 1 hour? Keep watch and pray so that you will not give into parasmos. into temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. There's an acknowledgement of that wrestling with inside of us. I want to do what's right. Remember that Paul in Romans? I want to do the right thing, and yet the inside me chooses to do the wrong thing. And I don't want to do that, yet the inside me chooses that. And there's this wrestling that we face. By staying alert and talking things over with God regularly, we can avoid having temptations overpower us. Same word, temptations, trials, parasmos. We come, and we talk about this, we come and we sit with God. Remember the man, he had two cups of coffee. He filled both. One was his, and the other one just reminded him that he's not sitting there talking to himself. And he's meeting with God. We're having a conversation. I'm listening as well as talking. And we come and we talk and we say to the Lord, don't let me run in the direction of sin when I encounter parasmos today. We learn in James 1 that trials are a part of human existence, and nobody gets out of this life without parasmos, without trials. Painful, difficult, gut-wrenching, challenging times that can make us wish we'd never been born, because we live in a fallen world and we just don't get out scot-free. Nobody does. We may not see what they're wrestling with, but trust me, everybody wrestles with something. And when we come to these times of testing, our response can either be we get through it and grow, or we collapse. Deliver me from collapsing under the weight of this parasmos, this temptation. Let me escape giving into despair. It's a plea. It's a cry. I want to be victorious. I want to come to the end of my trials, the end of my temptation, and I want to be stronger. I don't want my times of fiery trials to be wasted with nothing learned. Have you ever noticed someone going through struggles? Let's pick on other people today. Others going through struggles. And we see them go through. Sometimes they're our own making, sometimes not. And they get to the end and you say, boy, I hope they learned their lesson and we don't have to repeat this. Do you ever find that? You ever got to the end of something and say, boy, that was a hard lesson to learn. I don't want to have to learn that one again. I have learned my lesson. We say these things. I hope they can avoid that pitfall from now on. I hope when I come to the end of this, I've learned. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 12 and 13 uses the same word. I want to use it. I want us to look at it. If you have your Bible and you want to peek with me, please do. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 12 and 13. Paul writes, if you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience, and God is faithful. He will not allow the parasmos, the temptation, to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, parasmos, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. Most often, you've heard this verse another way. I think it's probably one of the misused, misquoted passages in Scripture. People will say, God will never give you more than you can handle. That's not what it says. God, things happen in life that are more than we can handle. What are we going to do so we can handle it? We're going to be connected to God. Or they push that boat a little farther out, don't they? God will never give me something I can't handle. So, you know, he'll never give me cancer. I couldn't handle that. I know that. So, you ever heard people use it that way? It doesn't say God's not going to give you trials that you can't handle. What he says is, I'm not going to let you be exposed to temptations that you cannot, with my help, stand strong against. Maybe this is a little disappointing. Not for everybody. Maybe this is a little disappointing. When I say to you, God does not promise you, I'm never going to give you something you can't handle. But that's not the correct use of that passage. What he's saying is, parasmos, the things that I encounter in life, I can encounter them with God. It says he is faithful to provide us a door out. parasmos, trial. It's in the context, in this passage, in the concept of sin. Not the hard trials we encounter in life necessarily, but also the sin we encounter in life. When you are tempted, he will keep temptation from becoming so strong you can't stand against it. And this passage moves right into verse 14, which says, "So, my dear friends, flee from the worship of idols." We're not talking about God's not going to give me any more trials than I can handle. We're talking about temptation. So flee from idols. I've come to something that tempts me. Parasmos. What am I going to do? Idols are anything, all caps, anything that we set above God. They can be good things, just so you know. The things we do with our kids, the things we do for our families, the things we do for our community. When we take what we're doing and put it above God, it's an idol. Idols can be bad as well. We know that. Substance abuse. Anger that's uncontrolled. Anything that I say, this gets to a higher place in my life than God does, that's called an idol. And God says, flee temptation. Flee from the worship of idols. Idols are truly anything I set at a priority higher than what I know God has called me to. They can be good things that we're doing. They can be bad things. When I worked at the school, they still have a union rep. Her name's Janet. And she said to us, you know, you'll say this sentence, oh, we're doing it for the kids. And so you stay long hours and do those things. And that's important. But be careful that we're doing it for the kids doesn't come at the expense of your own kids. What I'm doing is a good thing. But is it what God's called me to do first? Jesus and Paul are reminding us that seeking God first, asking him to lead, guide, and rescue us from temptation is paramount. Having this time where I stop and I talk with God helps me focus on what's important. It starts with me aligning my heart with God's heart in conversation, in prayer. And asking God to help me recognize my weaknesses and to make a plan to escape them. If I struggle with alcoholism, taking a job as a bartender is probably a poor choice. Would you agree? That is not fleeing temptation. If I find that I'm deeply attracted to someone other than my spouse, if I am going to flee temptation, I distance myself from that person. Because I'm not trying to see how strong I can stand, how much heat can I take before I collapse. I'm going to say, that's a problem. I'm going to go stand all the way over here because I'm fleeing that and standing strong against the devil. I don't have to stand right here next to the temptation to prove my strength. I flee. Deliver me from that temptation. Help me find the door of escape and get out. I'm going to sit here with the Lord. I'm going to acknowledge my weaknesses. I'm going to ask him to help me overcome and be victorious. I ask God to guide me as I go through my day and I face hard things. I'm going to seek his help first before I get there. You ever been driving? Do you do this? You need Google Maps? When you're driving, you're on the freeway, you're like, oh, if I just put that in first, all I get, right there. Harder to do it mid-journey, isn't it? If you're the only driver, the only person in the car. It's a little tricky. Pretty soon, you know, you're trying to type the destination and you're waiting. It's against the law. We don't do that, I know. It's easier if before I start the journey, I have a plan. And I'm going to ask him to help me escape and be delivered from the evil one who is simply there to trip me up. Where do you think that temptation comes from? I'm comes from the devil. Oh. Would you like a third piece of chocolate cake? Oh, yes, I would. Everybody's temptation is different. But, and this is an important but, I have to want to escape. I have to be willing to want to say no. And sometimes the conversation I'm having with God is, help change my wanter. Help me to want to do what's right. Because right now, I want that third piece of chocolate cake. Help me to fix my wanter. And I fix my wanter by spending time with my Father. So when I pray the words, lead me not into temptation, but deliver from the evil, I'm asking God to help to remind me of what's really important in my life. And frankly, the urgent and the important can start yanking on me. The urgent says, I should be over here doing this. And it's yanking, trying to get my attention. But the important that God and I already talked about is over here. And learning to say no sometimes to the urgent, to say yes to what I know God's called me to is important, is part of being ready to face the challenges of the day. Because they all vie for our attention. I'm going to stand and resist the devil, and I'm going to flee temptation. I'm going to say, don't let me give in to parasmos. Don't let me yield to temptation. Help me to want to be delivered, because I do want to be delivered. This verse helps me remember that he is there, ready to rescue if I want to get into the boat. And this goes back to the verses above. Not my will, but thy will be done. We're back to realizing, aren't we, that the idea of relationship is the goal of prayer. To build and grow a relationship, conversation, communion with God, whatever that looks like for you, the time I spend with God grows my relationship, because I'm putting time into it. We all know the investment I make of time into something is what helps it grow. I'm putting God first. Remember that professor telling me, love God and do whatever you want. Because if I really love God, what do? I do what pleases him. If I really love Brian, I want to do what pleases him. I want to do what honors him. I want to do what brings him joy. And if I really love God, it starts to fix my wanter. Love God and do whatever you want. Because if I really love, if I'm really building, what I want falls in line with what God wants. This prayer has so many aspects that remind me of this relationship. Six simple sentences that have so much in them to guide me. We receive a lot of gifts from our Father. And the gift of prayer and the model that Jesus gave us helped remind us, help us realign, help us engage to stay on track so I can be delivered from temptation and rescued from evil. Lord, thank you that you don't leave us alone. Thank you, Lord, that you promise us that when we face hard things, you're there to rescue, to lead us away. Lord, help us to want to follow. Help us to want to escape temptation. Help us to want to be delivered. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for his death that makes all of this possible. As in his name that we pray today. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I pray that as you go through this week, you will find those doors of escape. That you will find your wanter wanting what God wants. Go in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen.